Tonight, President Trump's crackdown on illegal immigration is expanding. Not just ICE officers, but other federal law enforcement agencies sweeping across the country. Colorado today targeting the notorious Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, making nearly 50 arrests. And the Washington Post tonight, citing four people with knowledge of the ICE briefings, reports quotas have been set of at least 1,200 to 1,500 arrests per day nationwide.
Is that what you're hoping for?
Look, we want to get as many criminals as possible, so there's no number on it.
Tom Homan is Trump's border czar. He's in Chicago tonight, overseeing a major enforcement operation, even as the deportations spark international backlash. Colombia's president turning away two U.S. military aircraft with deportees, writing on social media, a migrant is not a criminal and should be treated with the dignity a human being deserves. President Trump is now threatening Colombia with urgent and decisive retaliatory measures, slapping a 25% tariff on all Colombian goods coming to the U.S. and revoking the U.S. visas of Colombian government officials.
Good. That, you know, the country needs to take back their citizens. We got a strong president who's going to demand action. If they don't act, then there'll be consequences.
At the U.S. southern border, more troops arriving as ICE has arrested hundreds of undocumented immigrants nationwide each of the past few days. The Biden administration also arrested hundreds of migrants a day, but so far, the numbers under Trump are higher.
All right, that was an NBC report, and it is breathtaking what is happening as a result of the election of Donald Trump to the presidency of the United States. All those executive orders that he signed about a week ago as I'm speaking to you. This is what's happening. There are some more than one executive order on immigration, but one area. It is absolutely something of wonder to watch all of this happen. And we're going to talk to an expert who's been on the front lines of this since the 90s, covering this, fighting, really one of the most influential people in Washington, D.C., whose name you don't know, but who's advising and behind the scenes and she's like a Stephen Miller on the immigration issue. Her name is Rosemary Jenks, and she's going to join us in just a minute for a discussion of what is happening in all these areas. It's kind of fun. So I hope you'll stay tuned. Well, you want to hear some good news? Well, more good news? Every time I say this in the past, it was because everything was bad news. So now the news is good. So I think I have to change this line to say, you want to hear some more great news? Well, there's an abortion pill reversal treatment, and it provides women with a second opportunity to choose and bring babies back to life. This is, to me, another miracle. You know, the abortion pill is accounting for like 60% of abortions right now. So an abortion pill reversal treatment is just another jaw-dropping, wonderful thing that I thank God for. And when you join forces with Preborn Ministries, you can empower women to reverse the course. What you might not be aware of is that even though Roe was overturned and abortion has been greatly restricted in many states, the abortion pill has superseded surgical abortions. Preborn's network of clinics are on standby for women in their darkest hour, and they meet them with God's love and free services to help them choose life. Through ultrasound and the abortion pill reversal protocol, Preborn has rescued over 300,000 babies' lives. And so start the new year right. We can still do it. We're not too much. We're not even out of January yet, almost. But this is a good time to figure out how you're going to spend your money this year. And I recommend Preborn. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. Well, this is, I believe I said, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. And you can call us at 662-821-2040. 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform, but afr.net is home base, American Family Radio. You can listen to it on my website, sandyrios.com. That's real simple, too. And you can find us on social media accounts, whatever your favorites are, whether it's Twitter, which I actually do recommend to you, Twitter or X. My handle, that's what they call it, is @SandyRiosTweet. And that's where I probably do most of my personal activity. And also, I think that's a great source now of information. I didn't used to recommend that people that were not in the news or in the news gathering business use Twitter because it was all about that. But now I think it's a great source of truth, better than your newspaper and more reliable. Okay, so at Sandy Rios Tweet is my handle. That's how you can find me. So sign up to follow me. That would be really nice. There'll be lots of other people to follow on there, too. I think that's everything. Well, today is really good. And you might want to, I don't know, get a bag of popcorn and enjoy today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Maria, I don't think there's ever been a more sudden and swift change in any government operation than under President Trump when he took the oath of office. I would say overnight, but on the first hour of his tenure as president, we saw the change where there were military sent to the border. The military were blocking people from crossing the border illegally. The numbers of people who crossed on the 19th of January dropped dramatically on the 20th of January. They have continued to drop, and every single day, President Trump, working with Tom Homan, they've been deporting people to the countries they came from. But to show how Texas is a partner in all this process, on the hour that President Trump took office, Texas was deploying more buoys in the Rio Grande to deter and deny illegal entry into the country. The change, Maria, is this. We suddenly now have a commander-in-chief who cares about national security, who cares about securing the border, who's going to enforce the law. And importantly, he has a governor and a state in Texas that will be a partner with the Trump administration. We will assist in the arrest, the detention, and the deportation of people coming across the border illegally.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, and that's just a tiny bit of what President Trump has done in his first, week? As the president of the United States, it's astounding. But today, we're going to concentrate on the immigration portion of this. This is something that I've been slugging away at since I was on radio in Chicago in the 90s. And someone that I've known just about that long, who has been slugging away more directly, who has had such impact. You won't hear her name because she, well, outside the Beltway, you might not know her name. But I'm telling you, Rosemary Jenks is a key player in all of this, and I see her handprint on so many of these policies. Rosemary is the co-founder of the Immigration Accountability Project. That's a brand new organization, at least relatively, maybe a year or two. And before that, she was with Numbers USA as their chief legal counsel and advisor, government affairs, and then also with the Center for Immigration Studies. And I have to say, those are two other organizations I've always looked to for information. Rosemary is an attorney. She has her degree from Harvard Law School. Okay, Rosemary, you are the gold standard on immigration for so many of us in D.C. We look to you for what's really true and isn't. And so, but I want to ask you something. Since you go back so far with this, why this issue? You could have taken on a lot of things as a Harvard attorney, but why this issue?
Well, Sandy, first of all, thank you so much for your kind words. This issue I kind of fell into. I had never really thought about immigration a lot when I was growing up, even though my mother was a legal immigrant, a green card holder, and we used to make fun of her for being an alien.
What country, Rosemary?
Australia.
Okay.
So she came here legally. Then her whole life here, her adult life here legally, became a citizen in 1998, and I was very proud of that. But I really just kind of fell into the issue when I moved to Washington from Colorado and realized what a huge, huge problem mass immigration is for our nation, both legal and illegal. We've had consecutive administrations that have put immigration and border security on the back burner. It's never been a top 10 issue for politicians, let alone top one. And that all changed. under the Trump administration. It changed to a large degree under the first Trump administration, but January 20th, a week ago, it changed dramatically. This is now the top issue that we are seeing results on, and it is, I've never seen anything like it. This is the first time we've actually had a whole of government approach to immigration enforcement and border security. And it is long past due and so exciting to see.
It's just it really is breathtaking. I mean, this is amazing. Okay. But let's get it. So when President Trump was giving his part of his inaugural speech on what he was going to do, I was like, it was like, you know, it's like all of these things coming at us. But I want to know, because you are really, truly on the inside, your contacts within Congress, your influence is great, Rosemary, and for good reason, because you have so much integrity. You never play games and you always tell it straight. And so people trust you. But did you get surprised? Did you know what he was going to do, or were there any surprises for you?
You know, he basically did everything that he promised he was going to do. I was surprised that he did everything. I mean, you know, President Trump is kind of known for saying what he means and doing what he says. But, you know, last time around, he said he was going to end birthright citizenship, and we never got that. This time, he said it again, and we got it on day one. You know, that was kind of the astonishing thing, that the people around him had laid this out so thoroughly, and it was all ready to go on day one. And we started seeing results immediately. I mean, it is astonishing. I have never seen the DEA or ATF or the 101st Airborne Division putting out posts on Twitter bragging that they're engaging in immigration enforcement. You know, the 101st Airborne put out a post saying that they're excited to be going down to the border to secure the sovereignty of our nation. I have never seen anything like that before.
Well, and that happened. Go ahead, but I was just going to say that happened because he declared a national emergency on the southern border. I mean, our troops could not go down and be a part of it, not actively, correct? Unless a national emergency was declared?
Yeah, and that's the thing. He declared the national emergency. He declared it an invasion, which gives the states additional power as well as the federal government. He declared that the cartels are foreign terrorist organizations, which gives the government a whole lot more power to go after them directly. So all of these things combined mean that, I mean, he did 8 executive orders on immigration and 2 proclamations on immigration. And all of that together means that every relevant agency, the State Department, DHS, the Justice Department, the Defense Department, are all working together and combining resources so that we actually can secure the border, prevent illegal aliens from entering, and that's one of the orders was specifically you were going to turn them away. You're not even going to, like, detain them and then remove them. You're just going to turn them away, or we'll put them on planes and send them directly home. I think that there are ongoing efforts to figure out how we're going to deal with, like, the Venezuelans when Venezuela won't take them back. We saw over the weekend what happened when Colombia decided that they were not going to accept a couple of flight loads of Colombians. And, of course, within a couple of hours, they had caved and are accepting those nationals.
Yeah, I just saw that this morning. That didn't last. That didn't last. They went back and forth. The president had great bravado. The president of Colombia. We're not going to take those because they're really good people. They've done nothing wrong. They're not criminals. And he makes this big, long statement. And then, like, within, you know, hours, he has reversed course because President Trump threatened tariffs. I just wanted to make sure people knew that, Rosemary, because that's important stuff.
That's what leadership looks like. And we haven't seen leadership, well, for the last 4 years, for sure. So, you know, we have laws in place that can be used and are finally going to be used by President Trump to secure our border, to get the illegal aliens who have come out of the United States. And I'll tell you, Sandy, we're going to have sob stories in the media of, you know, this illegal alien family has been here for 20 years and now all of a sudden they're being deported. Well, guess what? If you have succeeded in breaking our laws for longer than others, that doesn't mean you should be rewarded. You chose to come here illegally, you broke our law, and you need to go.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. And President Trump is going to do that with Tom Homan and Stephen Miller, and it is going to help American workers. It's going to help American taxpayers. It's going to return us to the state of being a sovereign nation, and it's going to be glorious to see.
You know, another thing that I, years ago, because I have been talking to people about this for years, Rosemary, I'm an armchair expert on it, not the kind you are, but the infrastructure, roads, you know, plumbing, everything's strained. I mean, our roads are packed. We wonder why they're breaking down, why we can't get around, because one part of this is because we have a lot of people here who are not supposed to be here. And even the infrastructure is groaning under the weight of millions of people that don't belong here.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, over the weekend, we learned from Neil Monroe at Breitbart News that the Biden ambassador to India gave tourist visas to 2 million Indian nationals to come to the United States and take jobs from Americans. You're not allowed to work when you're on a tourist visa. That's completely illegal. And 2 million people, that's 2 million American jobs that were taken by Indians who were violating the law. And that's just one example. I mean, there is so much fraud and abuse in our immigration system. And yes, it is impacting our infrastructure and our hospitals and our schools.
Exactly.
And, you know, every public facility that you can think of is being impacted by this. And, you know, one of the first orders that DHS put out was that ICE agents could now go into what are called sensitive locations to make arrests. And the sensitive locations include schools and churches and hospitals and places like that. Well, of course ICE agents should be able to go into those places. Do you know who is in our public schools? MS-13. You know, do we want law enforcement, regular law enforcement, to be able to respond when a school shooting happens or a school stabbing? Of course we do. So why would we prevent ICE from going in and removing dangerous gangbangers?
You know, let me pause just for a second. We've got a report from NBC. It's short, and it'll give an illustration of what you're saying and how it's being reported. This is clip 4.
The start of what the White House calls an unprecedented mass deportation campaign. One change, ICE agents now allowed to make arrests in sensitive locations like schools and churches.
Do you plan under certain circumstances to go into churches and schools at some point?
Oh, never say never. If there's a national security threat that we know is in a certain place on a college campus, well, we're going to get that national security threat.
Here in Chicago, immigrant communities are on edge.
I wish to remain silent.
This one holding a workshop today about civil rights. This asylum seeker from Venezuela, now worried about her future.
Muchas personas andan atemorizadas.
Many people are fearful, she says. That's why they're not leaving their homes.
All right, so that's NBC. I believe that's NBC Chicago. Rosemary, you get this other part of, I'll just break this briefly. You know, Catholic churches have kind of a tradition of, at least in movies that I've seen, I'm not Catholic, of being a sanctuary where people can hide in their churches. And it's morphed into hiding illegal immigrants in many Catholic churches. Now, Protestant churches, well, mainstream Protestant churches probably do this too. But evangelical churches, this is kind of weird, unfamiliar to us, I would say. So that is a big barrier for Catholics, don't you think, that they can't be a refuge for people regardless of, you know, if they're murderers, gangs. They do this in Chicago. Since I lived there years, they would hide people and give them sanctuary. I'd just love to know what your response to that conundrum is, or how we get around that.
Well, I am Catholic, and I can tell you with certainty that there is a vast divide between the average Catholic in the United States and the hierarchy of the church. You know, the Pope came out and criticized President Trump's mass deportation plan, and yet he did that within 2 weeks of the Vatican announcing that they were cracking down on illegal entry into the Vatican with prison time and huge monetary sanctions. You know, the hypocrisy is astonishing. The U.S. Catholic Conference came out a couple of days ago and criticized the president for deporting people and for, you know, saying that they're banning sanctuary policies and all of that. And yet the Catholic Conference gets millions of dollars from the federal government to resettle illegal aliens across the United States. So what is it that they're really trying to protect? Their cash or their, you know, humanitarian values? Because
yeah, there's
the illegal immigration that happened under Joe Biden was in no way humanitarian. There were people dying along the border every single day. There were women and girls being raped. There were children being recycled so that they could get the next so-called family into the United States. The horrors of sex trafficking and labor trafficking, all of that was essentially being facilitated by the federal government with our tax dollars. And all of that stops on January 20th. And that is a good thing. And every religious organization should be glad about that.
Oh, I totally agree, Rosemary. And in fact, I was going to ask you about this. It's not just Catholic Conference. It's like Lutheran Family Services. I'm not sure about the right name, but it's a Lutheran group. There was also a Baptist group making millions and millions and millions of dollars, really hiding and undermining the security of this country. And again, as you said, very well, expediting child exploitation, child sex trafficking, and President Trump, that's part of what he did he not? He defunded those NGOs, is that correct?
They haven't all been defunded yet, but essentially he stopped the entire refugee resettlement program in its tracks, so they won't get any new money until that program has been reevaluated, and that's why they're freaking out, because they're afraid that the cash cow is going to stop. And it should. You know, American taxpayers should not be paying to resettle illegal aliens when we have homeless veterans on our streets. You know, it's just an absurd misplacement of priorities that has to change, and I believe will change under this administration. But there's going to be screaming and rending of garments by these, you know, so-called religious groups that have made so much money off illegal immigration, and that ends. And you know, the other groups, there are international groups, the Red Cross gets taxpayer dollars, U.S. taxpayer dollars, for teaching illegal aliens how to get to the United States, giving them maps. The UN, through the International Organization of Migration, is helping people, illegal aliens, get through the Darien Gap. All of that needs to end immediately.
It's really, I don't think people could even comprehend, really. It's hard for us to comprehend how deep this has gone and how horrible. I saw a movie, a documentary that I don't think it's been released yet. I'm not sure, Rosemary. I saw it at a film festival in Texas about 4 months ago. And it was zeroing in part on sex trafficking. And they were showing how the children would, obviously, most of those kids, oh, we should have to talk about those disappearing children, too, so don't let me forget. But they were assigning people to come help with those, you know, those children that didn't have families. But they were assigning, in this undercover camera, like, single men who had records as pedophiles. And this one showed a baby going with this man. He had no diapers. He had nothing for this baby. And these, I'm not saying every single social service group is doing this, but some of them are doing this. They're expediting the huge sex trafficking. And really, documentary said that we become the sex trafficking capital of the world, Rosemary, because of this. Can you just correct me if I'm wrong or massage that information?
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And it's not just local social service agencies. It's the Federal Department of Health and Human Services that is doing this. When we get so-called unaccompanied minor children coming across the border, there's a ridiculous law that needs to be changed that House Republicans tried to change in H.R. 2 last Congress, and hopefully will again. But it requires unaccompanied alien children. And remember, nobody comes across that border unaccompanied. Everyone who crosses our border, our southern border, is accompanied by cartel members and smugglers. So they have all paid the cartels or the smugglers who then pay the cartels. So they're supposedly unaccompanied because they don't have a parent with them right there. And usually it's the parents who are living illegally in the United States who have paid the cartels to take their children and bring them across the border, knowing what a horrific and dangerous journey that is. And so the kids get here, and then they have to be turned over to the Department of Health and Human Services, which tries to find them sponsors if they can't find the parents. So basically, anyone who comes in and says, I'm the sponsor for this child, HHS does no vetting. They don't look at whether the person is here legally or illegally. They don't look at criminal records. They just hand off the kids because Javier Becerra, who was the HHS secretary under Biden, decided that their top priority was just move them out the door as fast as possible. Just make it an assembly line. Don't worry about the safety of the kids. Don't worry if they're going to sex traffickers or labor traffickers. And the result of that is not only sex trafficking, but also a number of investigations across the United States by the Labor Department have found these kids working the night shift in meatpacking plants and on, you know, roofing, in construction. These are kids who should be in school, and instead their sponsors are forcing them to work in dangerous jobs illegally because that's why the sponsors sponsored them, so that they would have an extra income through these children.
Well, that's not the end of our discussion with Rosemary. We're going to get into more about child trafficking and lots of other issues in part two of our discussion with her. But don't go away, because Bruce and I have a lot more to say about this right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, speaking of children in distress, there's nothing more distressful than a baby in their womb. No child more helpless than when a mother chooses to take the life of the baby and turns her body over to someone else, and the life is taken from that baby violently. It's horrible. It really is. But you know what? Through ultrasound and the abortion pill reversal protocol, Preborn has now rescued over 300,000 babies' lives. You can start the new year by supporting life. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
We've seen, as you know, 500,000 children trafficked over a four-year period in the United States. This administration is going to investigate every instance of child trafficking, labor trafficking, sex trafficking, child smuggling, and all the attendant crimes involved in that. And our message to everyone in the country is to cooperate fully with Immigration and Customs Enforcement so that we can end the scourge of child trafficking and child abuse that has been endemic these last 4 years.
All right, Sandy, back with you. Along with Bruce, I've added him because We did see that film together in Texas that I mentioned at the 1A Film Fest. And, you know, Bruce, I do remember that scene of this overweight adult man taking this baby from one of the people from HHS. And they ask him, an undercover reporter said, do you have diapers? Do you have formula? No. And he was getting on a plane. He had no food for the baby, no diapers. And it's just stunning. It was so upsetting.
Yes, this man was going to have custody of the baby for like 3 days, and he had nothing. And I mean, we're talking a newborn also, not a baby, but a newborn. And it's obvious that he was not vetted in any way. He just showed up and said, I'm so-and-so, and the authorities gave him that baby.
It was really sickening. One of the things they said also in that movie, Bruce, do you recall that they located a hotel in New York City?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I don't know, I'll guess 15 floors. And there was nothing but children in that hotel with only a couple of people to feed and watch over those children.
Right. They were all locked in their rooms. The only contact I think they'd have with other people, other than whoever was in the room with them, was when the people in charge, who, as you say, there were not many, would bring them food, and then they were left in these rooms, and they were being held to be farmed out to, you know, a terrible fate.
To bad people, bad
terrible
people.
Fate.
Oh, it's just horrible, and that happened under the leadership of Javier Becerra and also Mayorkas.
Yes.
Wicked, wicked, wicked men. And when Rosemary said that Mayorkas and Javier Becerra were rushing it through, she wasn't kidding. That wasn't just a description. They actually put it in a memo.
Oh, yeah.
You see how a factory works, I think Becerra said. And you got to get them through like a factory assembly line, and you have to hurry. He basically said that.
Yes. I think he cited Henry Ford's
Model T.
Model T, the way they would build a Model T, like we've got an assembly line, you bring the child in, you get them to wherever they need to go and get rid of them.
Well, we have to stop that. And believe me, you know, I didn't think we ever could. I'll tell you right up front, it's so horrible. The fact that we have become the number one child sex trafficking country in the world. We were told the cartels are making more money on sex trafficking than they are on drugs. That's how bad it is. And so when Stephen Miller says this administration is going to stop that, I believe him. And I believe him because I've watched President Trump actually put that into motion. Bruce, before we go, what other things? Rosemary talked about a lot of things. Just this whole sweeping decision of President Trump on so many levels. Just your thoughts. Anything stand out to you or strike you?
Well, I think the point that really needs to be made is that many of these changes that President Trump has made by executive order need to be codified into law. As she said, we cannot keep changing our policy every 4 years because that doesn't cure the problem. And people who, you know, you have to see how this is being portrayed by the media. They're trying to act as if these sanctuary cities, the problems there, are Donald Trump's fault for wanting to clean them up. And it's quite the opposite. Trump's policies did not cause these sanctuary cities. These were caused by the Democratic regimes, and now he's left to deal with it. Really, he was left holding the bag here. And even though it's a monstrous task, and it is going to be monstrous, he is going to stand up and try to make this happen. And people who support these sanctuary cities, I think those are human rights violations being helped along, because if you look at Eagle Pass when Biden was president, there were thousands of people coming every day. Now, what is the United States going to do with these people other than give them terrible jobs, terrible conditions, and pay off the cartels for getting them there? They're not coming here because they're going to have a wonderful life. They're coming here because people are going to exploit them when they arrive in the United States.
And the other part of that is for Americans, and we have compassion. I always say, as believers, because I am one, that our personal dealings with people must be compassionate and loving and careful. I mean, we need to care for them as best we can. But as a law in regards to law, and also just the role of government, which is to bring order to the country. It's designed by God. We have to have laws. We have to have punishment. And so in that regard, we have to understand that we cannot, because of our soft hearts, allow all of these people to come in this way. And that's because it does harm to our children and our families. These people get desperate, and they have to, that's why I'm sure some crime comes because of that. And we cannot support everyone. That means that everyone suffers. This is not humane in any way.
And Sandy, why can we not come up as a country with a system to fix this broken immigration system? Just mass letting people in doesn't work. Just shutting the border from everyone, that's not the right answer. The right answer is Congress, and how many years have we been hearing this? They need to sit down and come up with a plan to streamline the ability of people to come to this country. Otherwise, they're going to keep trying to come in illegally. It should not be where if a person comes in illegally, they're given a court date, maybe 4 years from now, to which, of course, they will never show up, and now they're in the country. And Congress will say, well, there's laws in place. That's ridiculous. We need to have a place where people can apply to come into this country, where they can be vetted, where they can be interviewed before they come, a background investigation can come, and we have to determine, is this person necessary for our country?
And do they have a sponsor? Do they have a job before they come, which is what we used to do.
If someone is not in that circumstance, the only other people that should be admitted is if they really can prove that they are being persecuted by their countries. And, you know, I just saw a video the other day of people being taught what to say when they get here so that they can claim asylum. And none of these people would qualify for asylum under the rules we have.
They just have the words. They memorize the words in English. That's what's been happening. One other historical thing I'll just say. You notice they're not flying plane loads of people to Ireland or to England or to Scotland or to Holland. And that's because Edward Kennedy in the 1960s and then followed up by Bill Clinton changed the quota system so that very few people from Europe could come into the country, and they went to third world countries. Now, look, you can talk about that in terms of color, but I would say, personally, we should have allowed more people from Western civilization, whatever color, because there's a lot of different colors in Western civilization. That means their laws are based on Judeo-Christian values. We've allowed people in here who are not compatible with American values, not compatible with our Constitution, especially Islamists. I remember Edward Kennedy said before he died, Bruce, I remember this, that he reportedly said that the wheels are coming off the bus. And I thought to myself, Mr. Senator Kennedy, it's because of you. You caused these wheels to come off the bus. And now you're seeing it, and now you're never going to live to see it. But that's kind of where we are. We have another discussion with Rosemary after this in the next part, and it's equally fascinating, and so I don't think you want to miss it. Bruce, any last thoughts?
No, just that all I can say is we need to fix this system. This is not working, and we can't fix it by just deporting everybody. We have to come up with a system.
Yes, and we have to hold our congressmen to their feet to the ground. Right now, President Trump has their feet to the fire, I think it is. President Trump is like forcing them into doing things that they don't want to do. And why don't they want to do it? Well, I'll tell you, it's big business. It's because the corruption part of big business wants cheap labor. And that's who pays for their campaigns. And so that's how it's gotten so corrupt. All right, well, I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, for allowing you and showing me how to put our money where our values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-10-PLAN. That's 1-800-10-PLAN. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's first part with Rosemary Jinks on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.